Kevin Harlan here. Tonight at 5:30 Eastern, the NBA on Prime Crew is back as the Emirates NBA action heats up from Vegas for a thrilling semifinals doubleheader. Then on Tuesday night, December 16th at 8:30 Eastern, the last two teams standing will square off in the championship game for a shot at the cup, bragging rights, and a place in NBA history. And Prime is your exclusive home for it all. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details. Don't miss the thrilling conclusion of the Emirates NBA Cup live from Las Vegas, starting with the semifinals tonight, only on Prime.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Oh, hello. My goodness. July is upon us, and I'm excited. I am. This past weekend was a big one for most of us, I'm sure. 4th of July weekend. A nice, well, hopefully a 3-day weekend for you. It was for me and the gang here at the big show. And what a great way to come back from a 3-day weekend. This podcast has been so blessed in that... Well, in a few ways, the fact that you listen at all is certainly a blessing. And, the caliber of guests that we have is just stunning, and this week is no different. A true A-lister in the world, and an absolute pleasure of a human being. I'm thrilled to have this person as our guest this week. Of course, our guest is you. Oh my gosh, how are you? Boy, oh boy, will you look at you? You look great. I hope you're feeling great as well. And I am coming off of I'm a tad tired. I was just telling producer Jason that tad tired. It was a fun weekend, but the sleep hours were a little different. There may have been a little alcohol involved, which affects one's schedule when it comes to sleeping and all that stuff. And it was dietarily not a very healthy weekend, but certainly a delicious one and a lot of fun. But I'll get to that in a second. First, I want to acknowledge our sponsor this week. And, very fitting for this time of year. This week's sponsor... Swimsuits. That's right. I mean, if we didn't have swimsuits, what would we be swimming in? Our jean shorts? Our boxers? Nothing? Skinny dipping has its place, but of course you can't do it at, say, the public pool or maybe during the day at a busy lake or certainly not on the beach. Well, there are beaches for that, aren't there? Anyway, but besides... late night skinny dipping and stuff like that. Swimsuits, very important. And boy, they really do the trick, don't they? Like, especially guys, it's a weird thing. You put on those swim trunks and that netting in there really keeps things, it keeps things where they should be. And don't you feel secure and safe, but not uncomfortable when you're wearing it's really quite something. And ladies, boy, oh boy, well, your swimsuits are just, first off, aesthetically quite pleasing. You've got many styles there to choose from and many wonderful designs. And you can even go one piece or two piece. You know, you've got that choice too. And I tell you what, you look great either way. And hey, function as well, you know, keeps some important parts covered. And, you know, no, you don't want sunburn in some of those areas. So the swimsuit will help with that. And yeah, so by the way, I'm sure you don't mind, ladies, how a hunky dude may look in his swimming trunks. Sure. Yeah, why not? Show off that dad bod or whatever you may enjoy. Swimsuits, thank you for being our sponsor this week. I hope you get to enjoy a swimsuit very, very soon. And this weekend I did plenty of swimming at Lake of the Ozarks, where my family and I got together. My brother Jeff is blessed enough to have a good job, and he was actually, you know what, he blessed, and they did the right stuff. My sister-in-law and my brother, they have two kids, and they had a lot of, you know, student loan debt and other things like that, and they went, you know what, we're cracking down, and we're tired of paying interest on things, and we don't want to owe any more money. So they followed, actually, Dave Ramsey, the financial sort of guru, if you will. They followed his advice to a T and got themselves out of debt very effectively. And I remember when they told us, they said, we did it. Because I remember for years, they were living like they were broke, and they weren't. But they were. We all took a trip to Disney down in Orlando one year, and they had the money for it, and they had budgeted for it. But they still totally every meal they brought in, they did not buy food at except for maybe a treat here or there. They didn't buy their food because you can bring in food at the parks there. So. My sister-in-law would get up earlier before we'd hit the parks, and she would make a bunch of sandwiches. And while the rest of us were eating, you know, not crazy expensive, but certainly not cheap meals at the food at the restaurants they have in the parks, the four of them would eat what they brought, and not because they had to, but because they chose to. They wanted to get out of debt, and they made some sacrifices and for a couple of years. And then I remember they made an announcement. They went, hey, we are out of debt. We followed the plan. We stuck to it. We did it. We don't owe anybody anything. We're not paying interest on anything. And my gosh, good on them. And now they're able to, you know, they were able to get a lake house, a dream that we had always had, because as kids we would go to the Ozarks and see the homes there and go, oh man, wouldn't it be great if we had a house here? We could come here anytime we wanted and all this. And now, my gosh, my brother Jeff did it. And we get to enjoy the fruits of their labor. So, a lot of swimming. And the swimsuit that I wore, oh, it's very sharp, very sharp. It's the swim trunks, dark blue with marlin on them. Oh my gosh, they look good. They do, especially on these with these legs coming out of them. Are you kidding me? Oh boy! And here's what I like about the swimsuit. The first day, Saturday, I swam, and then when I was done, put those swim trunks on the railing of the deck. And the next day, I went out, and if they weren't dry and ready to go. Now, granted, they smelled like a lake, but they were nice and toasty from the sun, and yes. So I certainly enjoyed that. And my brother and sister-in-law, they bought a lily pad, like this one of those giant like mats that go out on the water, and you can pull yourself up on it and stand and run on it and stuff. It's cool. It's not easy. I have like zero core strength, so. trying to stand up and run on this essentially waterbed type thing was amusing for all, because I was falling and being my typical uncoordinated self. But man, the kids loved it, and we had, oh boy, we had a great time. I'll talk a little bit more about this in a bit, but I say right now, we get out of this humid basement. Man, oh man, I mean, the walls, if you were to run your finger down the walls down here, I mean, it's like touching a frog's belly. It's just moist and weird and, oh boy, it's just awful down here. Let's go ahead and hop aboard the TJA Express. That's right, the Arntrack, the world's only steam-powered monorail. Takes us out and about and then right back in. Ah. You listen to that horn. Oh, boy, that makes me happy every time I hear it. And, oh, well, I see that we've arrived in one of our very favorite locations, a place we visit quite often, Vocabville. Oh, isn't it nice to be here where people not only use vocabulary correctly, but they love it and they love learning new words and whatnot. Well, this word is probably familiar to some. The shortened version of it is certainly out there, but you may not have known where it came from. And this word came up over the weekend because there was plenty of imbibing going on. Beer and, we had margaritas one day. And, oh, man. Well, the word is dipsomania. That's right, dipsomania. And it just means an uncontrollable craving for alcoholic liquors. And you've probably heard the term dipso before. It's sort of a slang, maybe even pejorative term for somebody who likes to drink. Dipso. Oh, you, what? He's just such a dipso. Yes, I'm sure you've heard that. It's old fashioned, but it's it comes from dipsomania, which I guess could be the technical term for an alcoholic. Yeah, he's suffering from dipsomania. So, yeah, if you, for whatever reason, you decide that, well, hey, look, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm simply a dipsomaniac, and let's just leave it at that. And by the way, I feel like I know I know enough alcoholics. I know a ton, actually. Just so many in my life, and thank goodness they're getting help or whatever. They're in the program and all that stuff. And boy. And so when I joke about dipsomania and things, I know that they've got my blessing, because I'll tell you what, man, I did a show. I was lucky enough to do a show. One of my really good friends, Mark, is in the program, and he discusses it openly. I didn't say his last name, obviously, but so I don't feel like I'm, outing him in any way. But he is in the program, and he put together a stand-up show one night in St. Louis for, oh boy, I'm going to say 500 folks who were in AA. And it was, to this day, probably the best reaction I've ever got. This audience came and they were so ready to laugh and have a good time. And man, I mean, there were three or four of us on the bill, and we all just murdered, and just the sweetest people. We had so much fun. And Mark, after the show, made such a great point. He goes, I don't know why I thought this would be some sort of, you know, sort of a calmer, quieter affair, maybe even a somber affair. What a ridiculous misconception I had made in my head, that a group of people in AA wouldn't be, like, cheerful, that they would all just kind of be, you know, maybe how you see in movies where they go around, maybe like sort of a group therapy type thing where folks are in a circle and they don't really want to talk about their issues, but they're there and all this. No, not at all. I was totally wrong. And Mark made a really good point. I go, man, and everybody was so attentive. And he goes, well, yeah, when you're in the program, you listen. Like you listen to people talk all the time. Like you, and I went, oh yeah, you're right. That's an audience that knows how to listen. And because a lot of times you go to a comedy club, folks will not listen the whole time. You know, they're with friends. They want to talk with them. They're drinking, so their attention span might be a little impaired and all this. Man, not here. We had such a blast with such wonderful folks. And also the self-deprecating humor really went over well because, hey, these are folks that have had issues and they've decided, you know what, my life would be better if I worked on these. And so they know what it's like to feel flawed. And to have a sense of humor about yourself. And, oh, man, we had a great time. Just a wonderful time. Anyway, dipsomania is a word. Use it this week. I don't know what your problem is. That guy must be a dipsomaniac. And if you are somebody who's in the program and working on it, oh, my God, it's mad respect to you. Oh, such respect to you. Anybody who knows that they might have, you know, something they'd like to work on and then they do it, they put the work in, they make the sacrifice. There's nothing. I just have so much respect for you. So keep it up. Keep up the great work. You're doing wonderfully. I talked the last few weeks about, as we make our way back to the basement, about baseball, about working for Rawlings Sporting Goods. Now, I only touched on sort of the first chapter in the Rawlings saga, and I'll get back to it other times. But it was started by a question that came in of what was, after having worked with Rawlings for so many years, what was my favorite baseball memory? And actually, I thought I would go ahead and answer it now. It had nothing to do with me working at Rawlings. It was separate from that job, even though I got to go to many All-Star games and home run derbies and meet a lot of players and stuff like that. And again, I'll talk about some of that stuff later. But in this case, my favorite baseball memory is, something that some of you are probably familiar with. I was at Game 6 of the 2011 World Series, which is considered by a fair amount of sports analysts and baseball experts to be one of, if not the greatest game of baseball ever played. Here's what happened. A friend of mine said, hey, I know a guy who's selling some tickets. They're expensive, but they're World Series tickets. Are you interested? And at the time, I had a little disposable income. And I went, you know what? These tickets are way out of my price range. But if I make a few sacrifices the next month or two, I can do this. And boy, how great would it be to go to a World Series? Why not? And so I bought the tickets from my friend's friend. And I thought, man, this is going to be great. Who should I ask? And I called my dad and I said, hey, you want to go to the World Series with me? I've got tickets for the game on what it was supposed to be Wednesday, but that got rained out. And then it ended up being, I think it was a Thursday, but it was October 27th. So it was a great, oh man, fall is my favorite. And so to be out there watching my baseball team, the Cardinals, and the World Series, never having gone to a World Series, I was pretty pumped. And I asked my dad, I said, hey, I've got a ticket. It's on me. Do you want to go? And he said, ah, man, my arm has really been bugging me. He had something in his arm, like his shoulder joint had some sort of crystallization in it or calcium buildup or something. And he was having trouble, you know, maneuvering his shoulder. It was just, he was in a lot of pain. And I go, but he goes, you know what? Yeah. Let's go. I said, oh, great. So that night I picked up my dad and we went to the game. And this game turned out to be so nail-bitingly exciting. It was crazy. Now, when we came into it, when we went to Game 6, we knew there was no chance of the Cardinals winning the World Series that night. We were, I forget exactly how many games we were down. But the Rangers could win that night. So as the game is going along, it's looking more and more like the Cardinals are going to lose. We keep getting into these run deficits, two-run deficits, three, and coming back, but never really, like, I don't remember if we ever had the lead or not, but we would get down two runs and then somehow get tied up and then down two runs again and then tied up. And I mean, it was just a roller coaster. And I remember my dad, he had always taught us, you know, hey, if your team doesn't win, still try to enjoy things or whatever. And I remember, you know, we were kind of looking at each other at one point and we were down close. We were about six or seven rows behind the Cardinals dugout. And it was packed, of course. And everybody where we're sitting, a lot of them were season ticket holders. And many of them, obviously, die hard Cardinal fans. So they weren't really enjoying themselves. They did not want to lose the World Series. My dad and I, Cardinals fans, but we're not crazy invested. And, but we, you know, so we're not sweating bullets like everybody near us, and we're not uptight. We're still able to kind of talk and be a little bit relaxed and just kind of enjoy. And my dad goes, you know what? Hey, the Cardinals win tonight. We'll get to see the Rangers win the World Series. And they've never won. And we both liked, I apologize. I forget the man's name who was their coach. Was it Dusty Baker? I forget, but we both liked the Rangers coach. We, you know what? These guys have had an amazing season. In fact, they've been in the World Series recently and they lost. And yeah, if our team loses, we'll get to see that team win. And that's one of the things that I'm proud to say, being from St. Louis, has made St. Louis one of the best sports crowds in the world. And everybody in sports will acknowledge this. We don't just appreciate our teams. We appreciate everything. So baseball players have always said, hey, I'm on the verge of breaking this record. I won't be able to do it at my home stadium, but it looks like I may be able to do it when we're on the road in St. Louis. I hope to do it there because the audience, the crowds will acknowledge and appreciate the record itself, even though I may be on the team, you know, I might be on the Cubs or something that many Cardinals fans consider their arch enemies. players like having milestones in St. Louis when they can't do it at home. It's just a fact. And it's pretty, so yeah, I went, you know what, Dad, you're right. We'll watch this team celebrate and yeah, you know, bittersweet, but how cool. And we were having a good time. Now my dad's shoulder was really, really hurting still. He was like, man, I'm just miserable. And there were a couple times where it would even get it was kind of cold that night and a little drizzly. And he was like, yeah, we should probably, I don't know if we can make the whole game. And I went, you know, because it just wasn't looking good for the crowd. I go, yeah, we want to watch them celebrate. He goes, yeah, we do. So we get to the ninth inning and we're down. And my gosh, if we don't tie it up and we're going to extra innings, can you believe this? And maybe now the place is going to, oh my, we actually have a shot to stay in the World Series. And then in the 10th inning, things weren't looking good. We were down by another two runs. Like, okay, well, you know, they gave it their best. Well, we tie it up again. I think that may have been Lance Berkman had a great hit, and we tied up. We got two runs back. Oh, my gosh. How did we do it? We're going to the 11th, and how crazy is this? Now, in extra innings, either in the 9th through the 11th, or in just the Cardinals were down to their last strike at least three times. Their last strike, not just their last out, but their last strike. And they were able to pull through every time. And that last time was in the 11th inning. We're down by another two runs. Okay, well, we're going to lose this. And by the way, if I have a few of these scoring details wrong, I apologize. But this is just how this is my memory. And we're down a couple runs And up comes David Freese, young kid, but a fan favorite in St. Louis, particularly after this. And he hits a three-run home run, and the Cardinals win in the bottom of the 11th. And we lost our minds. We couldn't believe it. We knew we had seen something special. 11 innings of amazing baseball. And now our team won, and we're staying in the World Series. And, of course, the Cardinals, with that kind of momentum, went on to win the whole thing in 2011. They won. And we were at Game 6, and my dad and I, and the poor guy, everyone around us starts going berserk and jumping up and down and bumping into each other and high-fiving everybody. Everybody, we were all strangers, and my dad, in awful pain, raised up his left hand that hurt him, was hurting him so much, and high-fived everybody in the area. And we're high-fiving people as we're walking out of the stadium and going crazy. It was just such a special game and such a great time. And when we got to my car, I remember Ted going, I shouldn't have been high-fiving anybody. I am not. His poor arm was really, really hurting him. But, man, we had a nice time. We had such a good time, and we were so thankful that we hadn't left, and we were talking about that. Like, man, there was a time there we were about to walk out, and what a cool thing to be able to have been at Game 6 of the 2011 World Series with my dad. A great, great memory, and I still have my ticket. And what I need to do is I need to get one of those cool, like really thick sort of protectors to put the ticket in. Almost like one of those thick paperweight type things. And so I can slide my ticket in there and just sort of, make sure it, it's already a little wrinkled and stuff. It was in my pocket during the game, but I don't care. I just want to have it and be able to look at it now and again. Oh boy, that was a heck of a game. So that is my favorite baseball memory. And I'll tell you what, more memories made this past weekend with the family at the Lake of the Ozarks for 4th of July. 4th of July has always been my favorite holiday. And I think because, now look, I love Thanksgiving, I love Christmas, I love Halloween. I mean, it's hard to, it is kind of hard to say what my favorite holiday is, only in that they're so close together. Like if 4th of July is my favorite, so if that's a 10 on a scale from 1 to 10, Thanksgiving's like a 9.5, and Christmas is like a 9 1/4. You know what I mean? Like, they're all very, I love them all. But what I love about the 4th of July is it's always been such a fun day for my family. And, ever since we were very, very little, it's just been such a day to look forward to and a day to remember. So when we were kids, as you know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money, but my parents would. They always made sure that we had at least a little for some fireworks. So we would go to the fireworks stand. And how exciting was that? First off, those tents, they would start popping up, mid, late June. And we'd see them go, oh, can we go? Can we go? Not yet. It's too early. It's too early. Because, having four boys, my parents weren't too keen on the idea of buying a bunch of fireworks and having them sit in the house for 2 weeks, because there's a good chance we would have broken into the stash and started lighting them well before the 4th of July. So we always got our fireworks real close to the 4th, like either the 2nd or the 3rd. And I think sometimes on the 4th itself. So, we'd go out and we'd go into the tent and we'd each get a basket and start filling them up. And of course, the parents would come over and go, what do you got there? And you'd show them, okay, well, take that out, take that out, take that out. Either for expense reasons or because there were certain fireworks our parents just didn't want us to have, particularly the fireworks that look like rockets. My dad hated them. And we were always like, Dad, how come we can never get these rocket things? You know, they would stand up on their little rocket legs, and you would light the wick at the bottom there, and it would shoot up. Well, he goes, those always go wrong. Those always go wrong. And I remember one year we finally talked him into getting one. And I think the appeal was more the fact that he wouldn't allow us to have them. So when he did, we would just beg him and beg him. And then finally he got one and we lost our minds. We were so excited. And I'll be damned if that night he didn't set it down on a piece of cardboard in the lawn, or plywood in the lawn, light it, and it immediately fell over and it shot into the neighbor's roof. And he goes, I told you guys, these always go wrong. And my brothers and I were talking about this past weekend. I said, he was right. And I've bought them since then. And they do. They always, I've never seen one shoot up into the air and explode like it's supposed to. They always fall over, or they'll kind of start to go straight and then just veer violently off. And my brother Joe claims that he's had plenty that have worked properly. But the rest of us, Jeff, John, and myself, we all went, no, we've never seen one work properly. But so those were sort of off limits. But we'd get everything else, you know, Roman candles. And I remember my dad's favorite was this like big bottle rocket type thing that he would shoot off at night called wild geese, because they would screech and all this stuff. And we would also get, you know, chickens and tanks and little boats and sparklers and all that stuff. And really, really had a, Fourth of July, all day. We would just be shooting off fireworks, fire bottle rockets, and lighting smoke bombs and snakes. And then at night, my dad, you know, would get the bigger fireworks out, and we had parachutes and all that, fountains and all that stuff. I had to admit something really, really idiotic over the weekend that I'd never admitted before. I didn't have to. But my brother John has always told a story about how when he was like five or six, we were lighting off smoke bombs, and he bent down to the smoke bomb and inhaled as hard as he could. He just wanted to breathe in the smoke. And that poor kid, because he started gagging and choking so hard that it like we were all really, really concerned. And my mom had to explain to us the dangers, you know, how we wouldn't be allowed to do this anymore if we weren't responsible and all this stuff. Well, John has always has told that story quite a few times. And this year, I finally fessed up, because I have felt I felt bad about this my whole life. And I think I was embarrassed to admit this. But I fessed up and I said, John, do you know the whole story there? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, I told you. I said, I said, hey, John, bend down and breathe in as much of that smoke as you can. And he goes, what? I go, yeah, man, I didn't know that it was like dangerous or whatever. I just wanted to see you do it. And he goes, you're just now telling me this? And I was like, I've been ashamed of it. But that is the story. I am responsible for that. And I feel real bad. And he was like, geez. But man, I'll tell you what, that scared me as much as it scared him when he was coughing and choking, because I was like, well, I killed my little brother. that's what was going through my head when he first started choking. So, oh boy, I feel bad about it. And I thought maybe confessing it would relieve some of the guilt, and it didn't. So I'll run that by my therapist next week. We also figured out the perfect way to shoot off bottle rockets. The hole, the tiny hole at the bottom of a wiffle ball bat. So we would always have an older cracked wiffle ball bat, because we played wiffle ball all the time. And we would put that in like a fence. We would like secure it in the metal fence there, or sort of somehow strap it to the deck rail or something. And it was perfect. That little bottle rocket stick would fit down and the wick would hang out, and you'd light it, and oh, they shot perfectly. Now, we also figured out that if you put the bottle rocket in the end of a wiffle ball, bat. You can very effectively hold the end of the wiffle ball bat and aim that bottle rocket at whoever you like with no danger to yourself. And, well, that happened more than it should have. For the most part, we were very responsible, but the kids and us, you know, the little lower class rednecky punks in us would come out every now and again. So for us, 4th of July was such a treat. Barbecue and fireworks and wiffle ball tournaments and swimming. We had one of those above ground metal pools that was being eaten away by rust, and so you had to be careful when you got in and out of it because the rim of it would have just razor sharp areas. We'd fill that up with the hose there and wait 2 hours or whatever until there was enough water to swim in it. And just terrific, terrific stuff. And now our 4th of July's have evolved to going to Jeff and Tori's Lake House, and we fish and swim and barbecue and listen to music on the dock and, have some adult beverages. And one of the best things is the next generation, Jeff and Tori's kids and John's kids. Right now they range from 20 to 5, and seeing them enjoy the 4th of July and being excited about it and watching fireworks. And because at the lake house, we don't shoot off any of our own fireworks. We sit on the dock, and in the cove where their house is, there are a lot of other homes, very affluent. These are really nice lake homes. The folks there have some disposable income, and the displays that they put on the 3rd and the 4th are stellar. And there are about 6 of them going on at the same time. So we have sort of a panoramic view of all these fireworks, amateur fireworks displays. So we can just sit and watch the fireworks, and their reflections are in the water, and really enjoy them. And it's just really, really nice. And my niece, my youngest niece, who's 5, she and I joke around a lot. Well, all my nieces and nephews joke around. But the 5-year-old, I can still be real silly with. And she, I was pretending to be terrified of the fireworks. Whoa, what was that noise? And she would go, "It's a firework." And then I would see, one of them would go off, and I go, "What are those lights? Are those aliens?" And she'd go, "It's a firework." And then finally I was pretending to like cry or something, and she goes, "What's wrong?" And I go, "I'm terrified of the fireworks." And she goes, "Do you want me to sit on your stupid lap?" And man, I laughed and she laughed, and just such great great moments. I love that she acknowledged that I was being stupid, but still offered. It was like what she was offering was sweet. Like, "I can console you. I can sit on your lap and you'll be fine." But she did it in such a rude way. Oh, boy. And man, watching those girls fish is such a delight, too. Atlas is 10. And Eden is 5, and those are my brother John's girls. And they love fishing. They love it. But they're not as patient as you should be when you fish. So, they've got their little poles with the bobber and the hook. And, of course, they don't put the worms on themselves. It's gross to them. Well, the 5-year-old had no problem grabbing a worm and ripping it in half. And then handing me one half so I could put it on the hook. But anyway, so I was on worm duty for a little bit. Mostly my brother John, though, he does all of that. And the poor guy, he's an avid fisherman himself. So he's trying to do his own fishing. And these girls, bless them, they'd get a fresh worm on their hook, go to the water, cast as best they could out in the water. Atlas is pretty good. Eden, the 5-year-old, not as good, but of course she isn't. So she tends to cast around part of the dock or around somebody else's line. She's just immediately tangled up. So you always have to fix a tangle. And then when they do get it in the water well, they sit there for 30 seconds and go, there are no fish here, and reel it back in and all this. So their worms are always coming off. But when they catch something, oh, well, how joyous. It's so, so fun. Ah, the 4th of July. I hope that you guys had a wonderful 4th. And, you know, it's also obviously a holiday to celebrate America. And I firmly believe America is a place to be celebrated. Now, I'm not jingoistic. I don't go overboard with it. But it's oh man, I really think that particularly now we live in sort of an era where a fair amount of the citizenship thinks that America isn't so great, and that it's sort of inherently flawed. And look, nobody's denying that we've had some rough patches in our history, and that's even sort of an understatement. We haven't always done things as they should be done, but it's still pretty amazing, and we really are getting better all the time. And I don't think there's enough. You know, without downplaying some of our gross mistakes, we don't talk enough about how we are getting better. We really are. And man, it's just wonderful. And boy, I think that could be something to work on this week, is to actually sit back and think about what you love about this country. And also, why not think about what you would change or what you would like to see changed? Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. You know what? This place, my gosh, if this isn't the best place in the world to live, but you know what would make it even better? And what are you going to do about it? What can you add? And support to do what you think would be best for America. I think that's what we should work on. Why not? Celebrate how far we've come and what we're doing now and what we love about it. And also celebrate how we're going to get better. It's a terrific, terrific thing. A lot of sacrifice has been made for us and for the country, and we never want to forget that, of course. And it's also on us, though. We have a responsibility to make this country the best it can be, and good on us for doing that. Ah, man, I'm just I love celebrating the good. So again, not trying to be ultra patriotic or whatever, but I can't help it. It's it really is a cool place. We've got a lot of wonderful things and opportunities, and it's pretty awesome. So work on that this week, and also, you know what is really cool? Ask somebody what they like and what they would also like to see get better. Just some really nice conversation out there. There's a lot of criticism and negativity, particularly on, you know, things like social media and stuff. But why not take, and by the way, some things absolutely deserve criticism, but constructive criticism, I think, is always the way to go. There are a lot of people out there that like to complain, but they're not doing much about it. See what you can do. What else did I want to tell you? Some comedy shows coming up. The tour is getting a little bigger, And, oh boy, I'm going to post all these on Instagram, but as of right now, I'll just throw you a couple things. Louisville, I'm coming to see you. Did I say Louisville weird? Louisville. I know you can't really say Louisville, but I think the way I said it was also wrong. So, Louisville, Kentucky, I will be at the Caravan at the end of August, Friday the 27th and Saturday the 28th. Bloomington, Indiana, I will be at the Comedy Attic. Oh my gosh, just one of the, speaking of a great American thing, that's one of the great, one of my favorite places in America is the Comedy Attic. I will be there Halloween weekend. That's right, the 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's going to be a lot of fun. And Iowa, I've got dates coming up, potentially some other places. There's even talk of a return to Toledo. So I will let you know once the details of that are out. And also, heads up, no That Josh Arnold podcast for the next 2 weeks. There are things going on around here, vacations and all kinds of stuff happening. So there will be a two-week hiatus, but we'll be back after that. And boy, you know how much I appreciate you. And please subscribe and follow me on Instagram, That Josh Arnold. Send me messages at joshpodcast@bobandtom.com, questions, whatever. And I will get to... Bye!
Check out the podcast that inspired Taylor Sheridan's latest series, Landman.
There's a stretch of road in Royal Rich region of West Texas. This region of West Texas, known as the Permian Basin, is in the midst of the biggest oil boom in history. This is a story of roughnecks, billionaire wildcatters, and wannabe dreamers. My name is Christian Wallace. From Texas Monthly and Imperative Entertainment, this is Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.